Lord, I thank you for mercy. I thank you for being wounded and afflicted on my behalf. I thank you for taking the punishment that I deserve to get, Lord. I thank you for perfecting me forever, Lord. I thank you for dying on the cross for the sins of every ear that's listening. And Lord, I just thank you for leaving your word for us that we can learn about your character and be taught your ways. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God, please, and give me wisdom to speak, Lord. And whoever's listening, you give them understanding and a love for your son, Jesus, and a desire to obey your word and to grow deeper with you. In your name, Jesus, amen. So today, the title of this is called A Lesson from Adonijah. And I don't have too long in these podcasts, and I want to jump right in. And I'm going to kind of, in a very non-traditional way, tell you the story of the end, or rather, the end of David's life and Adonijah. And it's taken from 1 Kings chapter 1. So basically, it goes like this. King David is lying. He's sick. He is old. He's weak. And he is about to die soon. And the question becomes, who will take the throne? And who's left but Adonijah and Solomon? And so what Adonijah did is, ahead of David, while David was sick, he went and gathered a group of people and declared himself to be king, knowing the promises that God had made to David about his son Solomon. Knowing all of those things, he went ahead and declared himself to be king. He got all of David's, he got a couple of David's top-notch men. He got Joab, who was David's right-hand military man. He got all these different people, and they had a banquet to celebrate Adonijah as king. And he didn't invite Nathan, the prophet that came to David to confront him when he was having that sin with Bathsheba. He didn't invite Nathan, he didn't invite Solomon, and he didn't invite Solomon's mom, among other people. And Nathan came to Bathsheba, and she was like, look, you see what's going on. You know, Nathan, Bathsheba talked about, like, we gotta talk to David. Nathan said, Bathsheba, you gotta go and you gotta talk to David about this. You gotta let him know what's going on, because Adonijah's taking the king and David's just kind of sick and weak and he's not doing anything. You know that once David dies and Adonijah becomes king, the first people he's gonna kill is us. So Bathsheba goes into the room. They kind of organize what they're going to do. Nathan's like, you go into the room and tell him, and I'll come follow you. So Bathsheba comes into the room and asks for permission to speak to the king. And David's like, hey, you know, let's, you know, what do you need? How can I help you? What's going on? And she explains everything that's going down. She says, Adonijah has taken over. Have you made him to be king? Did you give him permission? Because he really has taken it as though you've declared him king, and he's having a big party right now. And there was like a big party going on, if you can imagine, celebrating Adonijah, the soon to be king. And then as she's speaking, Nathan comes running in and says, David, did you hear? Adonijah has been declaring himself to be the king upon your death. Is this something you approved of? What's going on? So David's like, what? This is crazy. So right then and there, he said, get me my mule. I want you to have Solomon go riding on my mule right now. Now, this is a big deal to have Solomon riding on the mule, because if anyone rode on the king's mule, they could be put to death. That was the signature that a person was going to be king, that they had permission to ride that mule. And so they get it all set up. They get Benaiah, they get the priests, and they anoint Solomon's head, and they have him ride on a mule, and they blow the trumpet loud, and the people come running out to see Solomon declared king. Meanwhile, at the party, Adonijah's having a good time, everybody's hanging out and chilling. Somebody comes over to Adonijah and says, hey, did you guys hear what's going on? Whisper, whisper, people start leaving. Adonijah's like, what's going on, friend? Tell me what the news is. Solomon's been declared king by David. Adonijah heard this, and it's like his voice kind of, his facial expression just kind of changed. And it says that everyone at that party, their facial expression changed, and they just left and they fled immediately. And the first thing, and here's where we get to the point of why I'm sharing this. The first thing that was done, that Adonijah did is he fled and he grabbed the horns of the altar. He fled and he grabbed the horns of the altar. In the ancient days, the altar was a place of sanctuary against justice and vengeance. And people thought, well, if they went there, they could temporarily relieve themselves from any kind of vengeance that was coming to them. Now, Israel was not commanded to use the altar in such a way. And in Ezekiel 21, God says, that, look, if any man sins and premeditates to murder his brother for no reason, just premeditates to do it, grab them from my altar and murder them. Grab them from my altar and you take back that life. But Solomon, in his mercy, I mean, you got to understand, Solomon had every right to execute Adonijah for what he's done. Very common in those days, a king, when he came to power, he executed all the people who would try to take the throne from him. Because when he gets older and weak, those are the people who are going to rise against him. As soon as he turns his back, those are the people that are going to rise against him. He actually frees Adonijah and allows him to live under some stipulations. But why did I want to talk about Adonijah? Why did I bring him up? Because as I was meditating on it and thinking about it, what blessed me was this. Adonijah went and he grabbed the horns of that altar. And it was just like such a vulnerable place. And as you read the story, you see that Joab did the same exact thing. He went and he grabbed the horns of the altar when he was discovered. And it's such a picture of what I see the Father asking me to do with Jesus Christ, is to grab the cross, to hold on to the cross, to lay hold of it. And you know, I don't know how it is for you, but for me and my mind and my heart, one of the things that the enemy is really good at getting me on is just guilt and shame. I don't know how he works with you, but he grabs a hold of me by guilt and shame. And once he gets me with guilt and shame, all other types of stuff can come in. And what I find is when I go to the cross and I grab onto that cross like Adonijah, when I hold on to that cross and I say, Lord, you've made promises to me. Lord, you died for me. Hebrews 10 says you perfected me forever, that you've cleared me, that all my sins have been forgiven. Lord, you don't have ill will towards me. It's a healing. And I think of Hebrews 10 where it says that because of what Jesus Christ has done, that our hearts, our consciences can be sprinkled clean. And 1 John, it says that we can have a good conscience. If our heart condemns us, that God is greater than our hearts. That love, perfect love, doesn't fear. And you know, if you're listening right now, here's what I want you to get from it is have you been holding on to the promises of the cross? Because here's what happens. When we forget about the reality that we are desperate sinners and that we need grace, we care about the cross far less. When we stop being sensitive to our sin and how much it grieves God, how much our sin hurts God, that if it wasn't for the cross, you and I have done sins today that are worthy of hellfire. If it wasn't for the cross, just the very day that you lived in the past 24 hours is worthy of hell. There's quite a few things that the Lord could bring up right now that would send you straight to hell if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. And we must never lose sensitivity to our own sin. Our own sin. It's very easy for me personally to point out the sins in others. But what happens is there comes a numbness to my own sin. So much to the point where I can have a huge telephone pole in my own eye and completely miss my need for repentance because I'm so focused on someone else. And that's why Jesus says, look, don't judge others. How can you judge someone else and take the speck out of their eye when you have a beam in your own? And so the idea is that we must examine our own selves, examine our own hearts. And as we examine our own hearts, we're going to realize, oh my goodness, I need the cross. Thank you, Lord. When Adonijah was at that party chilling, I don't know whether he had his Samsung phone out and was just, I'm being facetious now. But he might have been just sitting down, having a great time, just thinking about all the things he was going to do when he was king. Just thinking about all the ways he was going to make a name for himself. But when that messenger came, when that word came, he knew his condition. One thing I can say about Adonijah, though his fate didn't end well because he eventually did disobey and eventually did do something shady, but what I appreciate about him and that account is that he immediately understood his condition in 1 Kings. He immediately knew the word just came, Solomon is king. The word just came, I'm in trouble. I need to be saved. I need mercy. I need grace. And in Christian, may we never stay away from that place. May we never say, I'm saved and that's it. I no longer have to be sensitive to my own sin. No, we are saved and constantly needing a savior, constantly needing to have our mind and our hearts renewed and redeemed, so to speak. Not that we lose our salvation, but that we constantly are going to the Lord and confessing our sins, that he hears us. The scripture teaches in 1 John that if we confess our sins to the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If anyone says that they don't have sin, they're a liar. But again, if we've lost our sensitivity to our own sin, if we've lost that, then we won't treasure the work of the cross. We won't treasure the work of the cross. We won't be the person that gets on their knees and says, Lord Jesus, I need the cross. When is the last time you can think of that you got down on your knees and said, Lord, thank you for the cross. Lord, I need to be reminded of the promise of the cross. I need to be reminded of what you did for me. How much do we treasure what Jesus did for us on the cross? I mean, this is what communion is all about. Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. Every time you eat this bread, think about how I was crushed for you. Every time you drink this drink, think of how my blood was poured out for you. If you have no sensitivity to sin in your life, that event is meaningless. It's meaningless. It's not just a sin that you did before you knew Jesus. It's not just a sin you did 5 years ago. It's your life now. It's your life now. It's our life now. And if we could take a lesson from Adonijah, recognizing our current condition and doing something with it, namely repenting, going to the cross, going to the seat of mercy, going to the mercy seat. We have access. We have the Holy Spirit. We're able to enter in. We're able to enter in. Have you entered in? Have you entered in? Have you looked and confessed your sins to Jesus Christ? Have you gone to Jesus and said, whoa, how I've been living, I've been foul. My mind has been foul. My heart has been foul. My intentions and my motives have been foul. And I'm telling you, as somebody who regularly, I have to go there. I mean, my heart can get so foul, and I've got to go. I've got to. And I just want to encourage you and use the issues and circumstances in my life as perhaps an encouragement to you to not play with sin, to not play with that conviction, and to go to Jesus Christ. Tell him you're sorry, confess your sins, and be healed. Grab hold. Grab hold. Don't focus on what you've done or what you, just focus on Jesus Christ, who he is right now. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word, Lord, and I pray that above anyone listening, Lord, I apply this to my heart first, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to be sensitive, Lord, to our hearts, the wickedness in our hearts, and to just stay close to you and be even more sensitive to your voice. You say, my sheep know me by my voice. They hear me when I call. And Lord, I ask that we would be as those who hear you, Lord, that desire to follow you and keep your commandments, God, and that we have no peace in our mind and our hearts until we're keeping your commandments, Jesus. Pray all this in your name. Amen.